Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Jackie Bettridge, Chief Executive Officer, Crossroads Care. Crossroads' definition of a carer is anyone who is having to change their life to look after their loved one. Whether it starts off small and grows into something really big, or whether it is actually devastating. So one minute you are going about your life, the next minute you're definitely not going about your life. So it's about the impact of a family carer, a friend carer, whatever it is, a non-paid carer that actually impacts your life.
And we've just had the results of the recent survey that Crossroads has carried out, and it does make for stark reading, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Despite us campaigning, despite us having talks, it always comes back down to money and money not being chosen to actually be spent on carers. And I think there's a big bit missing, which is very evident from the report, that if we spent more money on looking after our carers, our family carers, those that are looking after their loved ones at home, we would actually, A, understand what it is that a carer needs and who they actually are. There would be much more respect, not only just from government, but also from the general public, be better understood what it is to be a carer. And they would have a voice. And at the moment, they don't have a voice. We're their voice. And that's who we've been for nearly 40 years, the voice of the carer. And this is a big push back to say, actually, enough's enough.
Because being a carer has a huge impact, or it can have a huge impact on a person's life. I mean, looking at some of these stats here, you've got 85% saying that their health has suffered since taking on their caring role, 76% worried about constant fatigue. It's something that really, really dramatically impacts a person's life, becoming a carer.
Oh, it really does. And I think because we don't have carers assessments and carers assessments aren't being done, there is literally no recognition of, A, the carer exists. So how would we know, and where would the statistical information be to go, actually, they're exhausted, they're tired, they're ill themselves, are they coping, can they cope? You know, if you reflect and you go, what would happen if I woke up tomorrow morning and I became a full-time carer and somebody is hospitalised for a long time, they come out, you know, you have the fabulous therapy teams that come and check the house and, you know, maybe do adaptations. But if no one is actually going, actually, excuse me, Mrs. or Mr., can you actually provide the care that's needed? I mean, that's just appalling. So as Carers Week's about equality, what about the equality for carers?
Even in terms of support from government as well, I mean, one of the stats that got me was that only 29% are claiming carers allowance from the survey that you've carried out. And is that because they don't know it exists, or is that because they're not eligible? Is it a bit of both? What's the cause for that?
It will be a bit of both. So the majority of people don't know it exists. They have no idea. And unless somebody's telling them it exists, then they're not going to know it exists. And once you reach pensionable age, obviously, even if you're on a carer's allowance, then it's removed. It is a little bit means tested. And it's not quite as straightforward as people think it is. But they absolutely confuse the carer's allowance with a carer's assessment. A carer's assessment is the assessment tool that goes, can you do this? Are you able to do it? What are we going to put in place to enable you to keep your loved one at home? The allowance is about the money. And not enough people are claiming carer's allowance.
Because that's the other thing as well, in terms of if you're looking at caring at a technical level, it can be extremely technical being a carer. If you're trying to keep track of various medications, if you're trying to keep track of the type of care that they need. And actually, when you become a family carer, you aren't necessarily trained in that field. You would have never necessarily had any previous experience doing that, providing that care.
No, absolutely not. You know, everybody says care is expensive, but actually we're asking loved ones to do it without any training, without any understanding of what they really are taking on. And I'm not saying that people don't love their loved ones and want to love them and look after them, you know, because that is human nature. But we do have to respect that. We do have to understand it. And we do have to value it. And it's the valuing of carers that this island is absolutely appalling at.
And it's something that the carers strategy of 2024-25 is hoping to address. So things like it wants to make it law that carers are listened to in a medical context around the person that they're caring for. They want to see more training resources available for carers. This was all started last year. Is this anything that you've seen any movement on so far as a charity?
No, not yet. We've done had our first meeting. We are sitting on that carer strategy. It was done with in conjunction with Crossroads. It has taken a long time to get off the ground, but we have just started doing that. And we will be pushing for those things because carers have equal rights for somebody that they are looking after. And just because we don't have legislation here on the island that is there to protect or even recognise carers, it is quite scary. You know, we live in the Western world and we have no legislation that is there to A, recognise or protect carers.
I suppose one of the government arguments would be that, well, when you look at the carer's allowance that is on offer, it is twice that which you would get if you were a carer in the UK, for example. So there is support there in that sense financially. But do you think enough is being done to make it clear who it's available to?
I think it's a really odd one, that, because if you are, I don't know, say if you're on £30,000 a year, what you get in carer's allowance is not £30,000 a year. So if you suddenly become a carer and have to give up work, which hence, you know, the state of caring actually states that a lot of people are struggling financially because they might be having to buy in care, they might be having to buy all sorts of things to enable them to live their lives. So if you suddenly had to stop work, I don't think the carer's allowance is anywhere near what it is your salary would have been. You know, if we talk about minimum wage, we talk about a living wage, it's neither.
This is probably going to be a very difficult question for you to answer, and I appreciate that. But if you could wave a magic wand and there be one or two things that would make the biggest difference to carers here on the Isle of Man, what would that be?
For me, A, it would be recognition of carers, carers in their own right. I think I have been battling personally for that for about 25 years. I think it is a really easy thing to do. I think that maybe we're scared of that because of the financial implication. So for me, I think it's really important that carers are recognised and understood by A, the medics and therapists and everybody else that this is not a medical model. When you send that person, even if they are, you know, having many medications and various medical appointments and everything else, you're actually sending them home with a novice. But that novice should have rights. And at the moment, carers don't have rights. They are not recognised and they need to be recognised in legislation, because without legislation, how do we bang anybody over the head? I think the second thing for me, if there was a second thing, is that I think society, not just government, but us as an island, need to have a much better understanding of their neighbours, their friends, how difficult it is. Because there's that old adage, and I absolutely hate it, and anybody dare do this to me when I'm older, is where you go, that little old man or little old lady. That little old man or little old lady might have been absolutely phenomenal when they were younger. Why do we literally degrade everybody? And carers, for the most part, are very degraded.
The carer strategy is in place and you've had your first meeting, but is enough being done by government to actively look at righting some of these issues that you're raising?
Well, I guess that's at the will of government, isn't it? So if government want to come on the journey, then they are going to have to look at how they're going to do that, because there is a lot of money out there for health and social care. And it ends up being how our government choose to prioritise things and how they choose to spend our money, because it is our money at the end of the day, you know, it's the taxpayers' money, it is the common purse. But I do believe that it's going to be very, very difficult for them to ignore carers, because we are hell-bent in the next 12 months on making sure that we are being heard. We've sat tight, we've had promises, the promises have never come through. I get that carers and carers' services are obviously very hard to do for our government, but it's time. Because the one thing I will say is that carers are the backbone of our health and social care. And if they weren't doing that job, and then everybody had to be institutionalised or looked after, we would need more money than the money that we're getting at the moment. So come on, it's time. It's time for carers to have recognition. It's time for them to have some equal rights.
Claire Christian, the DHSC Minister. What's really important is to just to emphasise how much the department and myself as Minister really value carers, who are the unsung heroes of our island. So, you know, it's really important to acknowledge that just obviously at first. And obviously the report is it's really important. It was part of an ongoing commitment that came out of the carer strategy to do the survey. And, you know, the areas, obviously the report does highlight, you know, there's an emotional, physical and financial burden on carers. Which, you know, the carer strategy, which some people might not have heard about. So, you know, I completely understand that. It was only approved in Tynwald last May. But the carer strategy really does aim to tackle these areas with the support of our third sector partners.
And if we look at some of the figures, I mean, 85% of the respondents said that their own health has suffered since taking on the role. 38% provide over 100 hours a week of care to their loved one. Only 39% had a meaningful break in the last year. So those stats don't actually differ that much to previous reports from 2018 and 2022. So is government really taking seriously the role that carers provide and the work that they are doing?
Yeah, I think the timing is something that you've raised really importantly there. So the one of the parts that you've just highlighted in terms of the 85% for carers reported their health had suffered since becoming a carer, you're right to raise that. And in terms of the carer strategy, obviously the strategy, what that actually does is it has an action list in it, and it's available on the Isle of Man government website, has a full action list. And carer strategy, which was, as I said, introduced last year, put together a steering group. And this steering group is really important because it's part obviously the Isle of Man government, Manx Care, DHSC, but also these third sectors, and Crossroads being a real lead in this, which is really important. So this act, in the strategy, there's a full action list, and the steering group are looking to deliver those action points together as a group. And that is so important, that we as a community and as an island nation really come together to do that. So in specific response to your question on the, you know, the mental health issues, and they feel that their health has suffered since becoming a carer. The strategy aims to address these issues by enhancing mental health support, and that's something that we've been looking at, obviously, as a department and with Manx Care, integrating mental health into the primary health services. But specifically, if you look at on the action list, point 3.5 and 3.6, this list exploring changes to the carer's allowance that recognises the value of care provided and the contribution to supporting departments' intention to encourage more care at home and in the community, and then also reviewing existing eligibility criteria for carers allowance. And I think this is really important. And the action list actually has Treasury as the ownership of that, and the steering group obviously be working with Treasury to deliver that.
And you talk about the action plan there within the carer strategy, and it was implemented last year, last summer, and going through a lot of the points, it has timelines for them. And actually, according to the action plan, I couldn't really see a huge amount of progress that has actually physically happened. I mean, how many of the points on that action plan have actually happened yet? Because according to Crossroads, the first meeting of that steering group was just before TT, and it should have been towards the end of last year. So has there been a bit of a delay on trying to get things moving on it?
Yeah, there has been a delay. And again, that's working together as a group to really sort of push this forward now. But I can tell you there are some areas which obviously just because the steering group haven't been able to meet, you know, action 1.1 does take that, the first one, awareness campaigns to identify and recognise carers. In 2024, Manx Care launched the In Your Shoes event, which was one of the initiatives that came from the session was establishment of Coffee for Carers, which acts upon the opportunity for carers to network and connect with services such as Crossroads, such as the Alzheimer's Society. And the next event like this will be actually on the 17th of June. So there have been obviously positive areas that have continued. I can go through some more as well, but I do agree that obviously we do need to progress, and that's why as part of the strategy this report was agreed that it should be biannually, so that we can raise the awareness and keep the progress and keep the pushing these targets forward.
And another point that you raised was talking about the carers allowance that we have here on the Isle of Man. And according to this report, only 29% of those who responded actually claimed that carers allowance. And a lot of them cited the fact that they weren't actually eligible to claim it. And I know that's something that you mentioned that is on the action plan. That is something that will make a direct impact on carers. So when is that going to be looked at? When can you give carers that reassurance that they will be able to claim that?
Absolutely. I think you just picked up one of the key concerns, the lack of awareness amongst young carers about the carers assessments. And this is where that kind of derives from. It was 80% of those responding carers said they didn't know they were entitled to one. And in these assessments, that's where things like entitlement can really sort of, or signposting can really sort of give them that support. So it's actually through the likes of yourselves, really, you know, helping us today to this week to really raise that knowledge for for carers to know that there are carers assessments that are available. And this is really, really important. But I can give you another example in terms of raising that awareness. The action 1.4 was creating an accessible website containing relevant information. There's budget allocated for this, and the ownership of that is with Crossroads. And so that, you know, it's again, it's working to help promote these things, that when we are able to come to fruition with that website, the access to the information will be there for people.
And according to the last census that we had in 2021, just under 5,000 people on the island identify as carers in some capacity, and they are just the ones who know that they are a carer and who realise that. So is it possible to quantify just how much money people caring for a loved one can save Manx Care and the government? Because presumably they're doing a lot of work that would otherwise be swallowed up within the healthcare system.
Yeah, I think there was a statistic from an earlier strategy, the previous strategy, carer strategy of the 24 to 34. I think the statistic was it was saving around about 40 million to 90 million. And so that's obviously a great, a huge figure that they are. We absolutely do realise that the contribution that carers pay in our society is completely invaluable. So it's really important that we do all work together to help make sure that they are listened. We do take action, and we do work together to achieve hopefully a better outcomes for people, for those carers.
And the carer strategy itself cost £96,000. It says that within the strategy. So how much of that has actually been spent so far on implementation? Do you know?
I haven't got that detail with me, but I can say that they are due to do a report, an annual report, the steering group, and I will be bringing that to the HLSPC board in September when it's due. So the areas like that and a full update will be there for, and obviously we'll make that public.
And so if there's anyone listening who either identifies as a carer or thinks that they might be a carer and isn't too sure, what advice would you give them about the support that is actually available to them from government?
Thank you. And absolutely, I think that if there's areas or anybody is unsure if they're a carer, would like to have an assessment, would like to reach out to find out more information. Obviously, as I said, we work as a group with Crossroads, but, you know, the MCALS is the first point of call. And I would really encourage people, even if you're unsure if you are a carer or how much you are caring for, please do reach out. It's really, really important. And let us, you know, let us hear your voice and let us understand what challenges you have.
And just finally, how much of a priority is it for yourself and for your department to make sure that carers' voices are heard and that they feel appreciated and, most importantly, supported?
Absolutely, it's a very, very important priority for us. I know it's easy to say that, but, you know, we do, as I said, the steering group does involve the DHSC as well as Manx Care, and that, you know, it's really important that we move together and move forward in delivering what's needed for carers on the island. So we are, you know, hearing their voices and also hearing the voices of children. You know, that's an area as well that young children are often underrepresented in this area. So it's about there are certain action points within the strategy that look at that. There's a whole section as well, and, you know, in educating young children into understanding that they could be carers and they are carers. So I think this is there's definitely positive steps forward. You know, the timing, as you mentioned earlier, the timing of the report was actually done, I believe it was at September to November last year. So obviously there's been some progress, obviously, within that time since the survey was taken. So we're hoping to make a lot more swifter progress now.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.